Open them to the book of James. We're going to be still tackling chapter 5, but we're only going to be discussing one verse there that I intentionally skipped last Sunday. That's what I was trying to avoid. But it still happened. James chapter 5, verse 13 to 18. But before that, I was reminded about this, the mom. The mom knocked on her son's door Sunday morning, and she goes, "Son, it's church time. Time to get up." The son screams back, "I don't want to go to church. People there are mean. They say mean things. They don't like me, and I don't like them." The mom goes, "Son, I have two things to tell you. One, you're 46 years old. Two, you're the pastor. Get up, it's church time." James chapter 5, verse 13 to 18, it reads, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess," this is the topic tonight, verse 16, "confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. This is the word of the Lord. Please join me in the word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this building, for our health, for everything that you have blessed us with. We thank you for the songs that we were able to sing. We thank you for the blessing and privilege that we are able to hear your word this afternoon. Heal us, Father, for those of us who are sick. Heal us in our hearts and in our minds in order for us to truly hear your message this afternoon. Guide us with your Holy Spirit. Teach us, Lord God, as they hear my voice, Father, I pray that they will hear you. That your Holy Spirit, Lord God, reveal to them your message for them. Guide us and protect us this afternoon. Forgive us, Lord, for all of our sins. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. We're still in the book of James. We're almost done. After this, one more topic, and then we'll be finished. I entitled the entire series, Radical Change. We started in June 29 of last year. 5 chapters. All those months, huh? Recap of last week, we tackled necessity of prayer, necessity of church, and the prayer of the righteous. We discussed that prayer is vital for every believer. And not only prayer, but also a community of believers. A community of believers, which is what we call a church body that a person, a Christ follower, must belong to. And then within that church body, with the vitality and necessity of prayer, there are elders and leaders of that church where a sick brethren can come to, can call, and ask for prayer. So this afternoon, like I said earlier, I skipped the first part of verse 16, which is, again, you see it here, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. I entitled our message tonight, "What is your emergency?" Remember last week it was 911 hotline. Tonight is that first line from the operator. If you happen to call 911, they'll say, "What is your emergency? Fire, police, or ambulance?" And sometimes you're collected, you can answer. But sometimes you're too nervous, you might not be able to answer. But same with that question, "What is your emergency?" A person who is in need in the context of chapter 5, verse 13 to 18, the context is a sick person, a sick brethren or a sister. That person must call. And that person must have access to a church body. He or she should know people in that church to call when he or she is sick. Similar to the 911, only the U.S. and Canada has it. So the people in the Philippines, though they may know about 911, they can't call it. I mean, they can, but nobody's going to answer. Maybe someone is, but they'll scam them of their money. I don't know. Christians who belong to a community have established these relationships. A relationship within the body, a person that they have identified that they can trust, and then now, for tonight's topic, a person that they have identified that they can confess their sins to. What is your emergency? That is necessary. That question is necessary in order for the proper healing or the proper response be given. Confession. What is your emergency? So you have to confess. In order to have an effective prayer, particularly in healing, there has to be confessions of our sin. So for tonight, what are you guys seeing? Verse 16, and then the 3 points tonight. This is hindrance, the 3H. Hindrance, help, healing. But before the hindrance, this is Psalm 32, 3 to 5. This is regarding confession. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away. Though my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me, and my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. The psalmist shares his experience when he decided to not confess his sins to the Lord, and it was draining his strength. It was hurting him. He was getting sick, or he was sick. So yes, that is confession to God, but then as Christians, right, as Pentecostal or Baptist Christians, or we don't know what confession is to others, to one another. Especially if you're coming from the Catholic faith, you come to the new faith and there's no more confessional box, right? But now we're talking about confess your sins to one another. So those are the things we're going to try to tackle tonight. So the first point is hindrance. The hindrance of sin in our prayers. We all know, right, that if we're sinning, our prayers are hindered. There are many verses here. Because the context of James 5, 13 to 18 is that the Apostle James teaches or was teaching the early church of believers that are sick that when they are praying for healing, they have to confess their sins to one another because this is necessary for their prayers to be heard by God and for their prayers to be answered. Again, there are many verses to prove this because my wife loves to ask that, to challenge me. She goes, you have proof of that? You have a verse? So he says, sin, if you're sinning, your prayers are hindered. Here are several of them. Psalm 66, 18. If I had cherished iniquity, which is sin, in my heart, the Lord would have not listened. Proverbs 28, 9. If anyone turns a deaf ear to my instruction, even their prayers are detestable. Isaiah 59, 2. But your iniquities are separating you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not listen. John 9, 31. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but he is ready to hear those who worship him and do his will. And for the husbands here, if you have prayers that has not been answered, this is your answer here. If you're a husband, you should be thoughtful of your wife. Treat her with honor because she isn't as strong as you are. And she shares with you in the gift of life, then nothing, if you do all that, then nothing will stand in the way of your prayers. Is it clear? That if we have unconfessed sins, our prayers for healing are hindered or are not heard. I know we studied Job, right? We know that sickness, that sin doesn't always, that sickness doesn't always, isn't always the cause of sin. But in the context of James, it is. And he's saying that you have to confess your sins, because if you're sinning, your prayers are hindered. Our cry for help from God is not being heard when we're not confessing our sins, because we're still not humbling ourselves. Christians, born-again Christians, people that have surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ, when you confess your sins to God, it's just reminding you that you have been forgiven. Don't think that you are not forgiven. That's why you don't want to confess your sins. You already are forgiven. Just go running to Him, confess your sins, and then present your requests to Him. Second point, help. The second H. Praying is asking for help. Effective prayer must include the confession of sins to others. Again, you look at this. The first part of verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. Now, a group of Catholic priests said that that's a weird name for a priest. That's the joke. Confess your sins to one another. Anyway, I knew it was a bad idea, but I took it anyway. Because you know, in the Catholic faith, you only confess to priests, right? Okay. When you have to explain your joke, it's not funny anymore, right? Some suggest that if we confess our sins to God, we don't need to confess to others, right? While this may be true, the overwhelming witness of Scripture is plain and very convincing. Here, 1 John 6:7. So if we say that we share in life with God, but we continue living in darkness, we are liars who don't follow the truth. We should live in the light where God is. If we live in the light, we have fellowship with each other, and the blood sacrifice of Jesus, God's Son, washes away every sin and makes us clean. I'm using this for this explanation. Fellowship with God and others is founded in walking in the light with God and others. God assures us that while our relationship with Him is personal, it's one-on-one, as much as that is true, it's not private. You don't keep it here. It's actually with others. Our personal relationship with God that's private must be taken out to the public with other believers, because we are a body of believers. What we do in our personal lives affects our brothers and sisters in Christ. Whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, if I fall in my own personal life, whether I like it or not, it affects everybody that's involved with me. My wife, my children, the church. Same with you. Knit together by the Holy Spirit are believers. This is how we live. How we live, it affects the rest of the body. Do you remember when you stub your toe? Right? You stub your toe in that coffee table that you have? Right? Do you just say, does the body say like, oh, poor toe? No, your whole body screams, you know, like, oh my gosh, who put that coffee table there? My entire body hurts. It's the same with the Christian body. How then can we speak the truth to one another in love and lie to one another if we don't speak honestly about our sins, which means When we're confessing our sins to one another, we're humbling ourselves. There's no pretending. We are telling our brothers and sisters who we truly are. We're not trying to keep a mask on and say, this is my Sunday mask. That was in 2020, right? But it's what we're saying here is confessing our sins is admitting who we truly are. And by admitting who we truly are, with our confession, we're being honest and we're humbling ourselves and we are walking in the light. That's why confession to one another is needed. Now, I do realize that confessing our sins to one another can be very daunting. I mean, confess my sins to others? Gosh. Now, there are key things that we need to understand and know when we do this. Subpoint, choose well. You have to choose well, right? Proverbs 18:24, someone with many so-called friends may end up friendless, but a true friend is closer than a brother. Last week, we already emphasized the importance of belonging to a church, right? And automatically, if you belong to a church, as James mentioned in verse 14, about the elders and leaders of the church, they're vital. You call them right away. However, the confessing to one another doesn't have to be just with the leaders and elders. It's not limited to the leaders and elders. This is given to everyone who belongs to that local body of believers. But we have to choose well. Meaning, when I say involved in the church, you get involved. You get to know people. You will get to know who the chismosos and the chismosas are. And once you've identified who they are, those are the people that are not to be in your confession list. Is that clear? Because, right, that you're going to give them something to struggle with. You're going to cause them to sin. So you have to choose well. Remember, because we have to be discerning. As Christians, we have to be discerning. We don't have to be naive. We have to be discerning. James 4:11, remember, do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. This is why in his previous chapters, in this whole letter of his, he was teaching the church how to treat one another. And the whole counsel of the Bible tells us that we are not to speak ill of others. And there's many commands about gossiping that we're not supposed to do it. This is how a church makes it or breaks it. Confession is needed because we need to tell others what our weaknesses are. This is why we go to a brother or a sister that we trust and we say, help me in prayer. I'm struggling in this particular matter. So that person, when they say, remember, let your yes be yes and no be no. And when that person says, yes, I'll pray for you, the responsibility of that person is to pray. Pray for them. You don't say, oh, I'll pray for you, because that's the right thing to say. Choose someone who is mature in Christ, who can be trusted with life details, who will battle for you in prayer, and who preferably is in your church. Second subpoint, confess temptations. Now, James 1:14-15, remember this? You are tempted by the evil things you want. Again, temptation is not the sin itself. Okay? Temptation is just you are tempted by the things you want. Your own desire leads you away and traps you. Your desire grows inside you until it results in sin. The sin grows bigger and bigger and finally ends in death. Unconfessed temptation will result into sin. Temptation is not the sin. Giving in to the temptation is a sin. But if you don't confess that you're being tempted by something to others, they will not be able to pray for you. Confessing to others what tempts us will help us, because the other person will pray for us, and also now it's in the open. It's in the open. Temptation is not sin, but it is dangerous. Learning to reach out to close friends when you're tempted is an essential part of resisting. Secrecy strengthens sin. Light saps it. Keeping your struggle quiet can seem attractive, since it lets you nibble a little longer before you flee or sin. But sin is never satisfied. If you feed it, it only grows stronger. If you don't want to fall off sin's cliff, don't walk along temptation's edge. If you already know you have weakness on gambling, it will be foolish for you to do your prayer walk in the casino. Right? As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will pray no evil. Don't be there. If you already know that if you go to a party and that girl that's tempting you is there, go with your shirt off. No, don't go at all, right? Don't go anymore, right? You have to remove yourself from the situation. And confessing helps. Confessing the temptation helps. Third, don't delay. Don't procrastinate. This is not time to be a Filipino when it comes to confessing to others. Filipinos love to procrastinate, right? Oh, I'll get to it later. The longer you wait to confess, the more likely it becomes that you never will. In my accountability relationships, I promise to confess any compromise within 24 hours. Though I tried to do it within minutes. Because you know what? Sin is cancer. It's like cancer. It must be rooted out as quickly as possible before it spreads. You guys remember the story of David and Bathsheba? It's a long story, right? Remember, David fell. He saw a woman, a beautiful woman, taking a bath. Henceforth, her name, Bathsheba. No, I don't know. Fell into adultery, right? His sin, unconfessed sin, he fell into adultery. What happened? It became murder. He had the husband murdered. Conspiracy to murder. And then he still did not confess. It took him so long. And here in 2 Samuel 12:13, God sent the prophet Nathan to confront David. And Nathan told him everything that he did. And then this is the response of David. Then David confessed to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." Nathan replied, "Yes, but the Lord has forgiven you, and you won't die for this sin." You see, if you already belong to God, your sins have been forgiven. Unfortunately, we will still sin. In this body, we will still fall. But it is good that we go to God and confess our sins there, and then we also come to our brothers or sisters and tell them of the things that are tempting us, that are probably leading us to be tempted to sin. Let's not delay. Because the longer you delay, it will give birth to sin. The baby that was the birth, that gave birth to that adulterous relationship, died because of the sin of David and Bathsheba. Because it took David, the prophet Nathan, for David to confess. How many months later? Fourth point, sub-point, be honest. What's the point if you're not going to be honest in your confession? Ephesians 4:15, instead we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Christians must be honest. Amen? It is hard. It is hard to be honest, especially if you can get away with it anyway. If you do sin, you will be tempted to lie about it. Can we all agree to that? Why? Because we lie when we want to preserve our reputation. We don't want to be embarrassed, so we lie. The command to speak the truth to one another demands that our confessions be honest. We must learn to confess specific sins specifically. We are not to go in generalities, you know, with the lines, "I'm struggling," or "I've had a rough few days," or "I've been tempted recently." Now, those are good introductions to the conversation, but they're not the substance. They're not substance. Honest confession is straightforward. And honest confession is the real confession. So think about this. It could be like this. It could sound like this, right? "Last night, I felt the temptation to look at sensual pictures on my phone, and I did not resist. I looked at soft and hardcore pornography on and off for about 45 minutes. I stopped several times but kept coming back. I ended up sinning. I thought about reaching out for help, but I was afraid and wanted to sin more." See, that's a confession. That's a real confession. Be honest enough to expose the sin in your heart, but general enough to not tempt your friend, to not tempt your friend's imagination by being unnecessarily graphic. Don't share the website or someone's picture that you were looking at, because then what's the other guy going to do? "Oh, really?" You know, they might fall. They might fall too. Necessity of having same-sex accountability is also vital here to avoid danger, right? Because a woman is not supposed to go to another man at church and say, "I'm having temptations about you." That's not going to go well. I mean, if your intention was to get out of the sin, that's not going to go well, right? So choose well. Don't choose a gossip. And also don't be a gossip. Confess temptations. Don't delay. And be completely honest, but wise, discreet, so that you don't cause your brother or sister to fall. The Apostle James and the Apostle Paul agrees in this matter about confessing our sins to one another in order for a believer's prayer to be answered and receive healing. Because sin and unconfessed sin can cause physical sickness and hindrance to healing. Now, Paul showed us this in 1 Corinthians 11, 27 to 30. Remember this one? In the Lord's Supper, the context of the Lord's Supper, and Paul was talking to the Corinthian church. He says, "So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, with sin and not confessed, will be guilty of sinning against the body of the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves," confession, "before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves." Judgment here is also the same as the word chastisement. Chastisement. So judgment for Christians, the judgment of hell for our souls, is no longer applicable to us. Jesus has paid for that. But every person that belongs to God is chastised by Him, because whom He loves, He chastises. We followers, believers of Jesus Christ, must understand that we are already forgiven. But if you look at that, when we are sinning and we have unconfessed sin, we can get sick, we can get weak. It says there, a number of you have fallen asleep. Not here at church, but, you know, it means death for them. When we sin against God, our sins have been paid by Jesus as Christians. When he said on the cross, "It is finished," it meant it is paid for. Everything that you've, all your sins in the past, today and in the future, paid for. So you would fall, unfortunately. You would pray and say, "Lord, forgive me, for I have fallen." And then you would look for that brother or sister that you trust, who is mature in the faith, and you would ask for prayer and say, "I have sinned. Please help me pray, or I'm being tempted." The third point, healing. Healing. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The Apostle James teaches the early church and us that in the event that one of us is sick, we are to what? Call the elders and have them pray over us. And for that prayer to be effective, there must be confession of sin. Right? The expectation, then the expectation after doing that is that God will answer your prayer. Now, God answers prayers differently, right? Yes, no, maybe. And God heals two different ways, correct? Remember last week? He heals us physically and he heals us spiritually. Because sometimes, you know, when we're sick and it was because of our sin, we have to tell that to others. It's just similar to when you go to a doctor, right? What do they do when you go see the doctor? What's the reason of your visit? I have a headache. Really? How do you feel? They keep probing you, right? What did you do? Did you drink last night? Are you drinking enough water? How's your diet? We have to check your blood, right? There's other things that cause it. It's the same thing when in our physical health, and then we bring it to the spiritual matter. If you have been sinning in your drunkenness, right? Because all the Christian winos, they know the Bible verse that Jesus drank wine. And then Paul told Timothy that he should drink wine. All the winos love that verse. If there is a verse that a Christian wino knows, those are the two verses. But the one thing is this. The Bible says don't get drunk. And then when you do, eventually it adds up in your body, right? And then you will develop cirrhosis in your liver. And then once you have liver cirrhosis, everything will fail. So you have to confess that sin to others. Like, "Hey, you know, I've lacked self-control. Please pray for me." Because remember last week we discussed that everything is from God. Healing from medicine is from God. Healing from the doctors is from God. Healing from prayer is from God. Because if you confess that sin that you're so ashamed to share, and you shared it with a leader or that trusted brother or sister of yours, then they would know someone that can help you physically or of that ailment that you're going through. That is also the healing. That's why that confession is also greatly necessary. Another verse about healing. This is Jeremiah 17:14. "Heal me, Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. For you are the one I praise." Isn't God good? God is so good that he guarantees healing for us. Not guarantee healing physically all the time, because it doesn't necessarily happen all the time. But we have the one healing that is guaranteed for all believers, which is our eternal healing. James 5:15 again, look at this. "If such a prayer is offered in faith, it will heal anyone who is sick." What kind of prayer? A prayer of faith, right? And the confession of sins to God and to one another. A prayer that is trusting God. And that will bring healing to those who are sick. The Lord will heal them. And if they have sinned, look at this one. If they have sinned, he will forgive them. Is that amazing, Christians? Again, if you have already surrendered your life to Christ, you're already forgiven. Yes, when we sin, it feels so shameful. There's that blah, you know, yucky feeling, right? But God is saying, I've forgiven you. Imagine Him standing right next to you and saying, I've paid for that. You have to get up, and your sins have been forgiven. Which reminds me, remember last week again, I had this last week, about the paralyzed man. Remember this? When Jesus saw their faith, the friends who brought the paralyzed man over to Jesus and they broke the roof, right, and brought him down, Jesus said, Son, your sins are forgiven. Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts and said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. Jesus showed here, explaining the impossible. What's the impossible? For our sins to be forgiven. That's the most impossible thing, because if we can pay for it, in my previous faith, it was detrimental for me. Because I will go Wednesday at the church over there by downtown, confess all my sins Wednesday, because that's the confession time there, speak to the priest, give him the long laundry list of my sins. I step out of that confessional box, I see a temptation walking by, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to be back here next Wednesday. You try to do good things, but then it will be eliminated by the bad things that you would do. But Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. How are sins forgiven for us Christians? He paid for it. He went to the cross. He took every beating there. He took the nails for us, not for his sins, but ours. Now, in regards to the sins that he paid for, why would we, the ones that caused him to be crucified, why would we go back to that sin that crucified him in the first place? Why is it still attractive to us? Those are the things that we should ask ourselves when we fall back into our sin. We have to say, God already paid for this. But at the same time, why am I still doing it? Lord, help me get out of this. And always hear his voice saying, Son, your sins are forgiven. Eternal healing first, right? The prayers of the sinners are not heard by God. This is why every Christian, all your prayers are heard by him, especially after you make your confession to God and to others. After you've done that, now this is not a formula by no means, right? It's not a formula. But this is what James has showed us. It's basically clearing our hearts of pride, removing all pride there. And if we are not confessing our sins other than pride because we don't want to humble ourselves, we're still holding on to it. We still like it, that's why. We still love it. We still enjoy it. And that's why our prayers are not being answered. If you're in a relationship, when Peter put it there for the husbands, right? It's a command for us husbands to be loving to our wives. We have prayers that we request. We're leading the family. And one command to us is to be loving to our wives. So you have to look at your prayer list. You have to look at your life. You have to look at your sins that you've probably not given up in confession to. Because God hears our prayers. after we confess our sins to Him and to others, God will do what He knows is best for us. He has the power to heal both us, to heal us both physically and eternally. Now, back in the days, the Prussian king Frederick the Great was once touring a Berlin prison. The prisoners fell on their knees before him to proclaim their innocence. All of them were saying, "I'm innocent," except for one man who remained silent. King Frederick called to him, "Why are you here?" "Armed robbery, Your Majesty," was the reply. "And are you guilty?" "Yes, indeed, Your Majesty, I deserve my punishment." King Frederick then summoned the jailer and ordered him, "Release this guilty wretched at once. I will not have him kept in this prison where he will corrupt all the fine, innocent people who occupy it." Confession releases us. Amen? Admittance, honesty, admitting it finally that, "Lord, I am a wretched person. Brother, help me. Help me pray because I'm still falling into this. I'm still being tempted by this. Help me." Confession releases us from that. And it makes our lives more fruitful and makes our prayers heard and heals us from our sickness. Amen? Sin is a hindrance and hinders our prayers for healing. Asking for help or confessing our sins is necessary for our prayer for healing to be answered. Healing is expected by the believer who humbled himself, confesses sins to God and others, and believe that he will receive God's healing. Amen? As the music team make their way up here, if you're feeling sick and you'd like for us to pray for you, please come up so we can do that. And if you have any unconfessed sins that was brought up to your attention by the Holy Spirit this afternoon, you can share that with me, and then we can pray for that together, and then we'll pray for your healing. If you have been visiting us for quite some time and the Holy Spirit has impressed it on your heart to become a part of this church, please come up so we can recognize you. Or if you have not surrendered your life to Christ just yet, and you could sense it in your heart, in your mind, that this is the afternoon that I'd like to do that. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. That Savior is Jesus. I want to do that confession. Please come up so we can lead you into that prayer. Amen? Let's all rise, and I will say the word of prayer, and then they will sing. Father, we thank you for your message for us this afternoon. We thank you for your grace and mercy that is you every morning. Forgive us, Lord, for the times that we sin against you and against our brothers and our sisters. But we are grateful for your constant, untiring, relentless grace, Father. You never get tired of us, Lord God. Your grace is so powerful that we cannot out-sin it. But remind us, Lord God, that this is not a license to sin. Let that truth about your grace, Father God, give us the urgency to continue to live more for you. Help us to humble ourselves, Lord God, with the sins that we need to share, that we need to confess to others. Help us, Lord. Help us to be humble. And Father, I pray for everyone in this building. I pray for those broken souls, Lord God. Please help them, restore them. I pray for broken relationships, Lord God. Please help them. And then we pray for the sick, Lord. Please heal them. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all the Lord's people said, Amen.